Anyway, we love these guys. They're just a very humble couple, very honest. And they're just going to kind of just tell you a story about how the Lord restored their marriage and what God can do if you are willing to submit and humble yourself and let him work. And so just pray for you guys real quick and let you get to it. So Lord, God, we just thank you for Ben and Beth. Thank you for what you've brought them through, them sticking it out. And as Rob shared earlier, just sticking through the hard and getting to the other side and just seeing what can be if you just choose to follow you and trust you and let you do the work, God. So I pray that you just bless them, fill them with your spirit, that they would just be able to speak your words, and that you would just bless our time. Amen.
Okay, well, we are not speakers like they are. So we're you know, we have notes.
more than notes.
A lot of notes, yeah. We helped at a retreat this weekend for bereaved parents, and while we were there, just through some words from that someone shared, we were reminded to be obedient to what God calls us to do. And so then we found out, I guess that was part of the word that you guys learned here this morning, so that was cool. That's what we're here to do, is just be obedient to what the Lord's calling us to do. And we just hope that our story will add something to your bag to take home today. So, yeah.
At the conference, every time I speak, it's with my hand over my mouth. I just made a note. As we were worshiping, God really loves us. Let that sink in. The God of the universe really loves us. So we just want to start by saying we're here before you, not in our own strength. Louder? Okay. We just want to say we're not here in our own strength, but we're here by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's in you. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 says, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. It goes on to say in verse 31, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 2:3-5 says, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. What we are saying, we come to you today in weakness, timid and trembling, relying only on the Holy Spirit, so that you would not trust in our wisdom, but in the power of God. When we boast only in the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, timid and trembling. We thank you for this opportunity to share our story. We pray that as you touched our lives, Lord, you'd use our story to touch others, to heal others, to truly see your power and what you did in our lives, Lord. It's such a miracle, and we are so we're so blessed by it, and we are anxious to share it with everybody, Lord, because you are holy and you are worthy of all praise, Lord. So we give you this time in your name. Amen. So first, we should probably tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are Ben and Beth Schultz. We have known each other since 1996. That's 28 years. We have been friends for 27 years. We have been best friends for 26 years. We've been together as a couple for 24 years. We have been married for 19 years, since June 25th, 2005. We have 8 children, ages 4 to 27. We began our relationship not walking with the Lord. We were very much walking in the world with everything that means, sex, drugs, partying, you name it, we've probably done it. The only reason we're here before you today is by the grace of God. When we look back on those early years and think of where our path could have led us compared to where we are today, we are truly in awe of the Lord's faithfulness and unfailing loving kindness towards us. We moved to Astoria 6 months after getting married, and Beth soon began coming to church at Coastline. It took me a bit longer, but I soon started coming as well. This would have been early 2007. The Lord began to work in our lives, and with that came conviction and refinement, and he began to take away the things of the world and replace them with the things of God. We were involved in serving at church and had a desire to be walking with him. I began serving as a deacon, and Beth was serving in the kids' ministry. Things were very good for a while, and it went on this way for the next 7 years or so. We had our ups and downs like every marriage, but we were pressing forward and growing in our knowledge of the Lord, and our faith was strong and growing. Looking back, we can see how the Lord was using that time to build a firm foundation in us so that we had something to stand firm on in the seasons to come. What we really want to share with you today is a little of our testimony of what happened during the almost 10 years from about 2014 to 2023, and how the Lord ultimately brought about miraculous forgiveness, healing, and restoration in our marriage. We know that God uses our suffering to draw others closer to him, and we are just hoping that our story will in some way encourage you guys. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." And that's exactly what he tried to do in our marriage and family. But it also goes on to say that Jesus has come that we might have abundant life. So rewind to about 2014. After being saved, I had never fully given up drinking. I didn't have a problem at this point, but was living day to day with almost no issues. I'd have a beer after work or a couple drinks on the weekend, and I wouldn't get drunk. I had the occasional slip up, but overall it was okay. And it went on like this for many years. I'm not exactly sure when or how it happened, but gradually one beer was no longer enough. This is where the enemy began to creep in with his lies and deception. I started drinking more and more. I hid it from my wife. I hid it from my friends, or thought I did. It got to the point where I'd drink a 12-pack or a bottle almost every day. At least a few times a month, I'd end up at a bar, and if I was at a bar, I'd be gambling too. If I was gambling, I'd be throwing away hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, money I didn't have, money I needed for my family. But if it got to that point and I was at a bar, I didn't really care, and I was willing to risk it all.
So when I didn't know where he was and he wasn't answering his phone, I would immediately know why. I think I was unknowingly living in a constant state of alert, just waiting for the next time. I always knew where he was. He was always at the same bar. And I would either call a friend to go pick him up, or many times I would do it myself. And there were many times where I went into the bar either very pregnant or with an infant carrier to get him out. I think this is an important part of the story to tell you guys, because I see now that this is where my bitterness and resentment began to take root in my heart, and I began to look at my husband in a different way. I began to build. We have a lot more to say, so if I start crying now, this is going to be... I began to build a wall between us in order to keep myself safe from the hurt. And this struggle went on for several years. The constant state of not knowing, getting him from the bar, confiscating alcohol bottles, trying to hide what was happening from the kids, changing plans with friends or family, trying to hide it from them, and financial worries because of the gambling. But through all of this, my love for Ben never wavered. And leaving him or divorce were never really an option in my mind. And all I can say is by God. It's only by his grace. I clung to him and I clung to his word, and we just pressed on.
It got so bad that I would get off work, drink a bottle in my truck in the parking lot before even leaving, I'd just pass out. I do this multiple times a week. And Beth would just have to deal with it. It took a long time and a lot of prayer. But I was finally to the point where I could admit that I had a problem. I went to AA a bunch in the beginning. I thought I could handle it myself, which never really works. For the next year, I tried everything I could think of to stop drinking. I ultimately went to a doctor's office and voluntarily got a shot that just takes away cravings. I remember having so many people praying for me at this time. All I could do was trust that the Lord was going to bring me through it. And praise Him, He did. It wasn't instantaneous. It was a process that took time, but in the end, it was still a miraculous healing from the Lord. Finally, I was free from alcohol. I'm now over 7 years sober. My official last drink was July 21st, 2017. There's much more to this part of my testimony that I'd be more than happy to tell you later.
Psalm 41 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire, and He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Finally, the nightmare was over and I could breathe again, and we could begin the process of healing our marriage. And we did begin to heal, and we began to grow closer together. And for a few years, things were gradually getting better. But the enemy wasn't done yet. He's a punk. And so we'll fast forward to June 15th, 2019. I was pregnant with our seventh baby, our sweet girl. I was 38 weeks and 2 days pregnant. I just had a very busy week with a homeschool conference, and I hadn't had any time to rest or be still all week. It was Saturday morning, and we were laying on the couch in the living room when I realized I couldn't remember the last time I had felt her move. I went and got our Doppler and proceeded to look for her heartbeat, and I couldn't find it. I tried for what seemed like forever, but it wasn't there. I knew she was gone. I remember falling on my knees in the garage and crying out to God to save her. We went to the hospital. We saw her still body on the screen. And then we heard the words, I'm sorry, but there's no heartbeat. And the whole world stopped spinning. There's a whole other testimony of God's faithfulness through the death of our daughter, B, that we're not going to get into today. But let me just say that the people He put in our lives and the faithfulness He showed us and the peace and hope He has given us are the only reasons we are where we are in our grief journey today. He is able. So in the early days after our sweet bee went on ahead, we were actually closer than ever. We clung to each other in our grief. But we were both grieving in different ways. And that began to put a wedge between us. And it was probably about a year or so in when I really began to start rebuilding those walls again. I needed to feel safe. I couldn't handle that feeling of helplessness and vulnerability. But when we close ourselves off from our spouse and we shut off the lines of communication, we create a rift between us. And so slowly the bitterness and resentment all just crept back in. And this went on for the next several years. We had another baby, and there's all that comes with that. And, you know, that put more bricks in the wall, and I built the walls thicker and thicker, and I added insulation, and I knocked out all the windows and doors and like boarded them up. And we still very much loved each other, and not being together was never an option, which again, like, only God. And we just know it's because of that firm foundation that we had in Him. Without that, there's no way we'd be sitting in front of you today. Anyways, we tried many things over the years. We went to marriage retreats. We had date nights. We asked for prayer. We tried reading a book once. I didn't get very far with that. We even got it on, like, so we could listen to it, and I don't think we listened to any of it. Yeah. We still had good moments and good times. It wasn't all bad, but it wasn't the marriage that God wanted us to have, and it wasn't the marriage that we wanted to have. And we prayed and we tried, but I just hadn't reached a place where I was willing to admit what was happening in my heart. I didn't even see it was there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it was all me, because my husband can be pretty annoying at times. I think most wives can probably understand that. A little frustrating. But I can see now that I was looking more to my husband and the things that he needed to change, when I needed to look to Jesus, the only one who can truly change anything. So it continued this way, and these unchecked things happening inside me were making it impossible for us to work through even the smallest issues. So they would just end up festering and adding yet another brick to the wall. At this point, only a miracle could break it down, and I didn't even know it was there. I didn't even see it. So fast forward to the year 2023. At this point, I still don't even know how bad it is. I mean, maybe a little, but I think it's mostly him. It's not me. I mean, yeah. It's both of us. But we didn't even have a chance to move forward until I was willing to recognize this bitterness inside me. We couldn't even work through any of it. I remember right before the leadership conference in July of 2023, I was so easily frustrated with Ben. When I looked at him, I didn't even see him. Everything he did just made me mad. The resentment toward him was just a part of me, though, and I didn't even see it as resentment. I didn't see the bitterness. I didn't see the unforgiveness. So we headed to the conference. We always go up the night before and stay in a hotel. And I just remember that night being so irritated with him. And I'm sure that he was expecting some paradise time. Like a throwback to another retreat, and I think you can figure out what that means. But that was not what I wanted. I mean, it makes sense. We're at a hotel, out of town, no kids. What man wouldn't think that that was going to happen? But that was not what I wanted. I didn't even want to talk to him. So he went to sleep frustrated with me, and I was frustrated with him. And I'm sure he wanted to talk to me, but I didn't want to talk to him.
Let's be honest. I am a man and can be clueless, dense. Use whatever word you want right there. I didn't really even understand why she was so frustrated with me all the time. Everything I did was wrong. I pretty much felt like my wife hated me. I prayed for the Lord to change this in our marriage. I didn't even know what to pray for. I just wanted my wife back. I wanted to talk to her. I wanted intimacy and closeness, but I didn't have the slightest clue how to get there. Everything I did just made it worse.
Feels like I'm saying a lot, because a lot of this was in my heart. But the next morning, and I don't even remember where it came from, we got up to get ready for the conference, and maybe it was my devotions or my Bible app, but I wrote down in my journal, Isaiah 43:18-19, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing." And this verse and those words, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing," would just come back over and over throughout the next couple days. I remember at this point, I don't even realize how big of a wall I've built. But this, I think, is where the Lord began to speak to me. And from that moment, from the moment we pulled into the parking lot at Calvary Corvallis that morning, I could feel the Lord's presence heavy in that place, heavy in my heart. With every session, every teaching, I heard the Lord speaking to me, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." There was one session in particular. It was a marriage session. And they use the analogy of a house to show the things we need for a strong marriage. Number one, we need a power source. That's the Holy Spirit. Number two, a foundation. That's our personal walk with Jesus, individually spending time with him, submitted to him, and walking with him. Number three, walls. There's that word again, walls. Walls are there for security and protection around our marriage, but the only thing I wrote down in my notes, this is it, these three things: healthy communication, windows and doors, and access to our hearts. I'll say that again. Healthy communication, windows and doors, and access to our hearts. And I think that this was the point where the Lord started trying to show me those walls that I had built that I didn't even know were there. And I began to see the walls and how there were no windows, no doors. There was no communication. And so at that point, I was just thinking, okay, Lord, I see these walls. What am I supposed to do about them now? And that brings us to the last part of the house analogy, which was a roof. And what I wrote for this is it. This is the only words I wrote down. Living and walking in the love in which forgiveness is a great part of. And I didn't even really realize this until I went back through my notes that that was what that was. But forgiveness. And I think I thought I had already done that. But this was saying to walk in forgiveness. And I found myself asking if this hardness of heart between Ben and I could be caused because of my bitterness and resentment. Was I holding on to unforgiveness? So a theme was starting to emerge at the conference, and it was confession and repentance, with people coming up and sharing, and it was a powerful time. But there was one man in particular who came up and shared a story. He actually ended up sharing it twice. Rob had him come up the next morning, and I was like, that was for me. I just needed to hear it again, I guess. I'll just give you the short version of what he said. There was someone who had done something seemingly unforgivable, and he did not want to forgive them. He knew he was supposed to, but he really didn't think he could. So even though he didn't think he could do it, he still began walking towards them, one foot instead in front of the other. And when the time came and he was standing in front of the man, without even realizing it, he just put his arms around him and said, "God forgives you, so I forgive you." And I think that really spoke to me. He took that step. He took that step of faith to walk in front of the man, knowing full well that he could not in his own strength say those words, but the Lord met him there and gave him the strength to do it. It was because of God's forgiveness that he was able to forgive. It wasn't coming from himself. And I knew then that I was supposed to do something, not in my own strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit to guide me. I had to take that step, just the first step. And the Lord just kept speaking to me, and there was no doubt. And I began to feel a strong urging from the Spirit that I needed to confess my bitterness and resentment and to come humbly before not only my husband, but also my church family, and ask for forgiveness and for prayer for healing in our marriage. And I really didn't want to do that at all.
Lord was speaking to me from the moment we got to the conference. He was showing me some things that I needed to confess from and repent from also. In my heart, I already knew that I needed to, but he was urging me and telling me that the time is now. I could no longer wait. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So during our breakout groups that afternoon, I confessed a bunch of things to 40 guys and asked for prayer. I confessed that I'd slipped into looking at porn. I really felt like I had no escape from it. I didn't want it, but it just seemed to have this hold on me. I shared that what I really wanted was my wife, but our lack of closeness and intimacy was just pushing me further into porn. A little while later, I pulled two brothers from our church aside and confessed the same thing to them as well. I told them that I thought my wife wanted nothing to do with me, and when she looked at me, all I could see was disgust. I knew that if I continued in this sin, the walls would just keep growing. I felt lost. I didn't know how to move forward. But I knew that confessing my sin was the first step and trusting that the Lord was going to guide me in the next step. I also knew I'd have to confess this to Beth as well, and prayed that the Lord would give me strength. During this time, I had no idea what was going on with her because we really weren't communicating. She did tell me she was going to share something, but when I asked what she was going to share, she wouldn't tell me.
We always had like a powwow at the end of the conference where everybody from Coastline would like make a circle and we would share what the Lord was speaking to us and ask for prayer and stuff. And I remember going and talking to Pastor Chris a few hours before and just being like, okay, I have something I want to share. It's about, you know, it has to do with Ben and our marriage. And I knew I had to tell him, otherwise I was going to back out when it came time. I mean, he never would have pushed me to do it, and he didn't, but, and he said, okay, well, you need to talk to Ben about it. And I was like, I didn't say this. I said, okay. But I'm thinking, I can't even talk to him. Like, that's the point. This is what I need to share, is that I don't even want to talk to him. Like Ben said, I did end up telling him I need to share something. And he asked me, like, do you want to tell me what it is? I'm like, no, I can't even, no, I'm just, it's okay. I'm going to share something. Anyways, when the time came, we gathered in a circle and people started to share, and somehow the Lord gave me the strength to open my mouth. Just that first step, just open your mouth and just start talking, and the Lord will meet you there. As soon as I started talking, it just started to pour out, and I shared about the walls that I'd had built because of the past hurts and addiction. How the loss of B had caused me to rebuild those walls and, add more insulation and more walls and more insulation and more walls. I think there was probably like 18 walls between us at that point or something. I shared the bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness I was holding in my heart that the Lord had been showing me. And then that I knew that I had to humble myself before them and before Ben. And that's hard. But only through the Lord, he gave me the strength to do it. But anyways, I needed to humble myself before them, ask for forgiveness from not only Ben, but my church family as well. And ask for prayer for healing, and that the Lord would take down these walls between us. And that was all I could do, was just ask for prayer.
Ask. Just ask. I shared I wanted my best friend back and could hardly get the words out without just losing it. Everyone gathered around. I think there was 25 of us. They laid hands on us and just started praying. They prayed for supernatural healing and restoration. They prayed like the walls of Jericho, that the walls between us would just fall down. I remember one pastor praying that sometimes things like this can take time, and I was just thinking, no, it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be immediate. Have you met my God? Do you know what he's done? I mean, he spoke and created all of this. We finished praying, and we left for the night feeling hopeful and encouraged.
We went back to the hotel that night, and I didn't say nothing. I wasn't even going to get into that. I crossed that out, actually. what I was going to say was, we were already talking more. But no, truly, the communication was opening already, and I was already starting to really see Ben again, and that those line of communications were opening up. Within that first 24 hours, this is the key here. After confessing and asking for prayer, like Ben said, no, it's not going to take time. This is going to be like miraculous. Within 24 hours of asking for prayer, our relationship was completely and miraculously changed. And we were able to reconnect. Okay, this is the part I crossed out, was emotionally as well as physically. The walls that I had spent so many years building came crashing down with one shout to the Lord. There is no explanation. It was a miracle that only God can do. Within 24 hours. Seriously, guys. He's going to talk about it more, but like, actually, let me just side note. Trinity read this earlier, and she's like, seriously, guys, I haven't said this before, but when you came back from that retreat, it was like, you couldn't keep your hands off each other. I was like, shut up. It's not true. I was like, no. She's like, no. It was like, it was your honeymoon or whatever. So.
I have a few pictures that I wanted to share. Put the first picture of me and her up there. So that's what, a month before? That's like a...
It's a month before.
It's a month.
I'm smiling.
That's a month before. We're both smiling.
I mean...
Okay. But, okay, put the next picture up there.
Again.
Okay. There we are, smiling again. Okay. We're happy in these pictures. Okay, now go to the next one. That's the day we left the conference at Local Boys. And you can see the smile. The other smiles are fake. I don't mean to say that, like, we were together and we were, yeah, we're happy. But that's the couple that God wants us to be right there. Yeah. Okay, as we finished the conference that day and drove out to get our kids, we continued talking and sharing. I told Beth about my porn addiction, and the forgiveness was immediate. Over the next few weeks, we made it a point to work on rebuilding our lines of communication, to take time to really talk to each other, and intimacy grew. I don't mean just physically. Oh, that was pretty great. And it grew. I felt a connection with my wife that hadn't been there for a long time. I'm going off script and reading. This was in my reading yesterday, and I felt like it's such a huge part of this. Isn't it interesting that in spite of our modern culture's saturation with sex, billboards, magazines, TV shows, the internet, it seems like few people are sexually fulfilled. Sexual love is the outgrowth of a stable and mature relationship. Talk to one another. Talk. Conversation is the best aphrodisiac. Just knowing your partner and talking. And I know, at least for us, if I don't talk and I just want sex, it's probably not going to happen. Probably. It might. I get lucky every once in a while. I'm reminded of another teaching that happened during the conference. It compared a marriage to a garden, and how, just like a garden, if we neglect our marriages, things die and weeds grow. That's just going to happen. If you don't tend to it, it's going to die. We have to be consistent and intentional. We never want our marriage to get back to that point again. Over the last year, the Lord has helped us become much more aware when anything starts to creep in between us. If I think that Beth might be starting to build a wall, I talk to her about it, and together we make sure it comes down quickly. This part I made a side note of. If she starts to build a wall and I can see it and she can't, I get a chainsaw and I kick a hole in it. And if you do it that way, it's got rough edges and it takes a little more time. So the talk to her about it part comes in handy then. It requires more prayer and understanding. It requires confession and humbling ourselves to one another. It requires admitting when we have done something wrong and being quick to ask for forgiveness. we have to see our spouse the way that Christ sees them and keep that perspective. So as we wrap up here, I'm going to go back and steal from the analogy of the house. Seems fitting for me as a carpenter, and ask you some questions. Are you plugged into the true power source, to the Holy Spirit? Do you have a firm foundation? Do you have your own personal walk with Jesus, submitted to Him, spending time daily with Him? Does your relationship with your spouse have plenty of windows and doors? Do they have access to your heart? Or have you been building walls between each other? Are you living and walking in love and forgiveness? Or are you holding on to unforgiveness in your heart? Are you willing to step out and humble yourself? To surrender your will to the will of Christ? To see your spouse the way that Christ sees them? To ask. Just ask Him. Ask Him for help and prayer. James 4:2 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. We had to be willing to humble ourselves and surrender our will to the will of Christ. We had to be willing to admit that our individual parts in the problem of our marriage. We had to be willing to just cry out, to ask, to say help, to just ask. We are simply in awe of the Lord and of the things He's done in our lives and in our marriage and our ministry over the last year. They were only possible because we were willing to come to Him with open hands and say, we can't do this on our own. We need You. Have Your way in our lives, Lord.
We just want to leave you with this one last verse. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And the NIV says, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And New King James Version says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is able to do it. He's able to do more, infinitely more, immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly more than you can even imagine. He's just waiting for you to humble yourself before Him and before your spouse. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in your lives, and He wants to do a new thing in your marriages, and He wants to do a new thing in your families and in your homes. You just have to be willing. Are you willing? Are you ready for the miracle? That's what we want to end on.
Lord, we just want to thank You for marriage. This picture, this beautiful picture of Christ and the church. To have an ultimate helpmate to walk through this life with is such a precious thing. Lord, we just want our marriages to be what You want them to be built on You as our rock. To look to You and guide us through the good times and the hard times, to be willing to humble ourselves, to be willing to be vulnerable, to be understanding and intentional with our spouse, to be quick to confess sins to one another and to You. We thank You that nothing we go through is in vain. Thank You that You promise to work together all things for our good. That we can look back and see these hard things in our lives now and how You've used them to shape us into who You want us to be. Lord, we thank You that You're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever imagine in our marriages. We want to lift up any marriages here that might be struggling tonight, any spouses who might be feeling the nudge from You. Lord, give them the strength to walk towards You, Lord, towards their spouse, to ask You to do it, Lord, whatever it is, because You are able. Amen.